Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. We want to thank you for joining us. We're just honored to be able to come into your living rooms, wherever you're watching us. And don't forget, you can always find out more about a network that you are building by God's grace at VFNTV.com. Ramadan. You think about Ramadan, it's a time that Muslims are beginning to fast and cry out for an encounter with God. And it's a perfect time for us as Christians to pray for Muslims and begin to say, God, that you would encounter them, that they would meet your son, Jesus, the Messiah. I mean, think about a perfect time when people are hungry and searching, they're searchers for God. It's a perfect time. As a matter of fact, take a look at what's taking place right now as people are praying for Muslims to be saved during Ramadan.
Well, Ramadan is the holy month on the Islamic calendar. It's the month when Muslims will tell you that Allah revealed the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. And Muslims today remember that and celebrate that by fasting. They don't eat or drink from sun up in the morning until sundown in the evening as a way of remembering and honoring this holy month, and also as a way of seeking a closer connection with Allah.
Why is it important to pray for Muslims during Ramadan?
One of the reasons that the Quran prescribes fasting for Muslims is that they can achieve taqwa, which translated means God consciousness. So they are really spending this month thinking about spiritual things and seeking a connection with God. Obviously for us as Christians, we want them to achieve that. We want them to come to know the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ. And so our prayers throughout this month should be that as Muslims are seeking that God connection, that God awareness, that God will move supernaturally to speak to them and to make them aware of his presence and his love for them and the salvation that comes through his son, Jesus Christ. He's doing that in phenomenal ways through supernatural means, dreams and visions and other ways. He's doing it through radio and television broadcasts. He's putting Bibles into the hands of Muslims in the Middle East. So we can pray that God will continue to move. And it's significant to pray during Ramadan because that's what Muslims are looking for. That's what they're seeking during this special month.
In the VOM 30-Day Prayer Guide, you mentioned nine rooms of Islam. What are the nine rooms of Islam?
Well, one of the early Muslim writers identified the House of Islam and everybody else, which he called the House of War. And, you know, it's easy to think of Muslims as sort of a unified mass of people that are all pretty similar. But that's not true for Muslims, just as it's not true for Christians. We think of Catholics and Protestants and Eastern Orthodox Christians, as well as evangelicals of all different spectrums. And all of those people would identify themselves as Christians. The world would identify all of them as Christians, but they're very different. We know that. They're very different in what they believe and how they practice their faith. That's true for Muslims as well. And so the prayer guide divides the House of Islam into nine parts of the world, nine regions, and the Muslims in each of those regions have different beliefs and different practices and different backgrounds. And as we understand those things, we're able to pray more effectively for them because it becomes much more personal. We understand a little bit about them, a little bit about their background. We can pray more effectively and more personally that God will move in that part of the world and reveal himself to Muslims.
Which prayers of Christians can be most effective during Ramadan?
The most significant thing that we can pray is that God will reveal himself to Muslims during this special time as they are seeking him, as they are fasting and praying and focusing on God. You know, God is doing that in supernatural ways. We hear stories all the time of Muslims having dreams or visions where Christ comes and appears to them and tells them, hey, I am the Son of God. You should follow me. You should worship me. And so we can pray that the Holy Spirit will move in the Muslim world during Ramadan, that Muslims will be drawn to Jesus Christ. We can also pray for our Christian brothers and sisters. There's two important prayers for Christians living in Muslim nations during this time. One is for protection. There have already been threats issued in some Muslim nations, I think particularly of Al-Shabaab in Somalia, which has openly said, we're going to celebrate Ramadan by attacking. We're going to celebrate with jihad. And so we can pray for our Christian brothers and sisters to be protected during Ramadan. But the second thing is we can pray that they'll be a witness, because as we've said, Muslims are seeking God. Our Christian brothers and sisters who live in those cultures, who speak the language, they can come alongside their Muslim neighbors and say, hey, I know the one true God. Let me tell you about him. Let me point you towards him. And this Ramadan season, we can pray, will be a season of revival in the Muslim world.
Okay, so how do we find out more about the 30 days of prayer during Ramadan?
The 30-day prayer guide is available from Voice of the Martyrs. You can come to our website, persecution.com, and just click on the store link at the top of the page. One of the things we're doing to equip Christians to pray is we're making this available in bundles. So you can have them for your church, for your Sunday school class, for your Bible study group, to hand them out to equip all of the Christians that you know to pray effectively for Muslims during this Ramadan season.
Okay, Todd Nettleton of VOM, thanks for reminding us to pray during Ramadan, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, and I encourage our viewers, pray for Muslims during the Ramadan season.
This is so important to understand, you know, how we as Christians can pray for those that are in the Muslim world. During this time, they're fasting and praying, and they're crying out to God. We know God. We can ask God, reveal yourself to the Muslim people. Reveal your heart to them. Help them to know you. As a matter of fact, the Lord has begun to show himself powerfully in dreams to many Muslim people who are being saved and giving their life to Jesus just through an encounter in their dreams. Take a look at this.
As mentioned, Muslims are experiencing Jesus through dreams and visions, and it's a growing phenomenon in the Islamic world. Julie Stahl has the testimonies of several men who say Jesus supernaturally appeared to them and changed their lives forever. Take a look.
The phenomenon of these dreams and visions has spread throughout the Muslim world from Indonesia to Morocco and beyond. Several years ago, Ali went on the Hajj, the Muslim pilgrimage to Mecca.
Of course, when I went to Mecca, I was going there in order to pay homage to the Kaaba and to fulfill the requirements in Islam.
Ali's experience in Mecca is dramatized in this DVD called More Than Dream.
But that night, I saw Jesus in a dream. First, Jesus touched my forehead with his finger. And after touching me, he said, "You belong to me." And then he touched me above my heart. "You have been saved. Follow me. You belong to me," he said. So I decided, okay, I'm not going to finish the Hajj, the pilgrimage. Whatever it takes, I'm going to follow that voice.
In addition to Ali's story, the DVD tells of other Muslims who came to faith in Jesus through a dream or vision.
We're seeing that all around. We're hearing about people that have never even thought about Jesus as Savior. They're content Muslims, and they're having dreams over and over.
Tom Doyle serves in E3 Ministries. He and his wife Joanna take the gospel to the Muslim world. Tom also wrote the upcoming book, Dreams and Visions, Is Jesus Awakening the Muslim World?
I think our God is a fair God. He's righteous and just. People are seeking. They don't know where to go. Maybe they don't have a Bible. Maybe there's no missionary in the village. He'll get the message to him somehow.
This woman comes from a Central Asian country. Her identity is hidden for security reasons.
In the church, if you ask how people came to Christ, 80% will say they saw him in a dream.
A Christian friend challenged this woman to ask God to speak to her personally.
So I decided to ask him, and so I did. And then the next day, I guess, I saw a dream, and in my dream, I saw Jesus was a bridge. I decided to come to him.
Hey guys, my name is Hazem.
Hazem Faraj, host of a satellite TV program, hears from Muslims about their dreams and visions.
I had one lady write me and said I had a nightmare, and she said, "I turned on the television and there you were." And she said, "And the words that were coming out of your mouth were so peaceful, I fell asleep." And she said, "And when I fell asleep, I ended up having a vision of Jesus." She said, "I saw the Lord." She wasn't a believer. She said, "I saw the Lord Jesus, and he was in a bright white robe. He pointed to a man who I knew in the dream was Abraham. and he was sacrificing Isaac. And she said, as soon as I looked over, I had known that Jesus was the Christ, sacrificed the Son of God.
Doyle says the dream or vision is usually the start, not the end, of a Muslim's conversion.
You know, nobody goes to sleep, Chris, a Muslim, and wakes up a Christian, but it knocks down the false barriers that are inherent in Islam. A couple of them are that we worship three gods, that the Bible's corrupted.
The Doyles say, compared to the political storm sweeping the Middle East, this could be seen as a spiritual earthquake.
You know what? As things heat up politically and spiritually within Islam, man, the Holy Spirit's moving even more powerfully.
This is the time when hearts are open, people are desperate, governments are changing, everybody's foundation has massive cracks in it, and Jesus is the answer that can come in and fill that need.
Many veteran missionaries say these dreams and visions, combined with satellite television, are reaching Muslims in unprecedented numbers. They say more Muslims are coming to Jesus than at any other time in the 1400-year history of Islam. The Doyles say believers in the West can join this spiritual revolution.
So yes, I think that, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And, you know, we are committed, all of us as believers, we've got to reach those with the gospel of Christ.
Not everybody's going to go to the Middle East, but they can pray. And no government, no leader can block intercession around the world. That's one thing that can get into any country. So we need to pray as believers that God would continue to just push the gospel out to the ends of the earth.
Julie Stahl, CBN News, Jerusalem.
Think about that. In 1400 years of Islam, more Christians, more Muslims are coming to Christianity than ever before. It is a very exciting time. You know, God is just showing forth his love to the people on the earth, to the Muslim people. And if you are Muslim, I just want to ask you, you know, why not ask? Just ask the Lord, show yourself to me. God, show yourself to me. That you would, is Jesus your son? Just ask the question. I mean, why would you be afraid of that if he wasn't? And I believe the Lord's just going to reveal himself to you because he loves you and he has a plan for your life. And we just pray right now for the Muslim people as they're crying out for God to be revealed to them. God, that you would reveal your heart to them, Father God, and save them, we pray in Jesus' name. It's exciting times. Join us after the break. After the break, we're going to be talking more about what the Lord is doing amongst the Muslim people. God bless.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's easy to get discouraged in the midst of disappointing circumstances. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. David Ring offers this perspective.
Cerebral palsy. What's your problem? Why are you crying the blues? Why are you down in the dump? Why are you down in the mouth? Why do you want to quit? Look at me, what's your problem? Don't whine, but shine.
A great reminder there about coping well with life's problems. Hear more from David Ring today on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You think about it, Ramadan's taking place right now. Many people, Muslim people, are fasting. They're not eating. They are crying. They're believing that God would encounter them.
Yeah,
which means they're in that receiving mode.
Sure. Mm-hmm. This year it falls between June 17th through July 17th, and that's Ramadan.
Right.
So we want to make sure that you have those dates so that you can pray. And be alert. Yeah.
Yeah. And think about it. It's when even the crippled guy at the gate, Beautiful, he was expecting money. But instead, he got healing. I mean, he Peter came by and he said, you know, could I have some money for the poor? And they look at him and they said, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And so because he looked at them and had that open heart, I'm going to receive something. He got healed. I mean, that was not what he was expecting.
Mm-mm.
Well, you have a lot of Muslim people right now that their hearts are opened
and they're wanting this encounter with God. They're doing away with some food and these different things, and we're just going to believe that God can reveal himself to them. He has, and he actually is already doing it. In a moment, we'll be talking to you or showing you revivals breaking out in Northern Africa.
Which is beautiful. I believe over 160 baptisms are occurring every single year in North Africa, which is absolutely amazing.
I mean, think about it. Over in the 1,400 years of Islam, more Muslims are becoming Christian than ever in 1,400 years.
Yeah. And now you think about
maybe that's why there's such a ruckus going on. Well, because of fear of loss
Yeah. You look at the technology and what's happening today, where satellite television and radio, even VFN TV, we're many of listeners and viewers in Pakistan and North Africa and Morocco, Egypt are staying connected. And we appreciate that. And we want to continue to preach the gospel into the Middle East Muslim areas so that it's the only way they can hear the gospel in many cases.
Right. Well, know that we're definitely praying for you. And when you think about this, you know, we're going to have this video in a moment, but think about this. We got to begin to take a stand for all life. I mean, all life everywhere. And as we dedicate the first part of our program is standing up for Muslim life, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are being killed right now by people who profess to be Muslim, and they're killing Muslim people who are not Muslim enough.
Yeah.
You know, and God loves the human race. And we need to begin to just really think about that. And understanding that will help you pray and cry out for the Muslim people, because God loves them and he can save them. He can actually show himself. Revival, like it says, breaking out in Northern Africa. You got to take a look at this. This is how God answers those prayers.
These images of North Africans worshiping have never been seen before on television. As the sun sets over the Mediterranean Sea, Muslims across this part of Africa are converting to faith in Jesus Christ in record numbers.
What God is doing in North Africa, all the way from actually Mauritania to Libya, is unprecedented in history of missions.
Tino Kahush, a graduate of Regent University, has spent years traveling the region to document the transformation.
I have the privilege of recording testimonies and listening to firsthand stories of men and women all ages, where they can be sitting in a room and see the appearance, the presence of God appear to them in reality. It's like a vision. They can, some of them gave me stories of they carry a conversation. It's not just a light that appears.
His interviews confirm what experts say is a profound move of God in the predominantly Muslim nations of Mauritania, Western Sahara, Morocco, Algeria, Libya, and Tunisia.
Sometimes I feel jealous. How come is visiting the Muslim world at this time and age where we don't hear that happening in the traditional Christian community?
From the shores of Casablanca in Morocco to Tripoli, Libya, experts say the growth of Christianity, especially in the last 20 years, has been unprecedented. And nowhere is that growth more evident than in the North African nation of Algeria.
In fact, we never thought the Algerian church would grow so big.
Pastor Salah leads one of the largest churches in Algeria, where 99% of the population is Muslim. He says every new Christian in his church came from a Muslim background. Some 1,200 believers attend the church.
In fact, since we started as a church until today, we've baptized on average 150 to 160 believers per year.
Men like Zeno, who was invited to attend Pastor Salah's church by a friend.
I saw Algerians worshiping God with all their hearts, and it touched me.
Others like Farhat speak of miraculous encounters. He says he was illiterate and couldn't read the Bible when he accepted the Lord. Then God made a change.
Since then, I've read the Bible and understood the word of God. This is just an example of what God has done in my life. And this is the case of many, many people here in Algeria.
Even though Algeria is overwhelmingly Muslim, the government has given Protestant churches the freedom to register their congregations.
It is the first Muslim Arab government who recognized officially churches from Islam.
Yusuf Krahmani is a leading Algerian pastor. He says the government will harass and intimidate Christians from time to time, but the level of persecution is nothing like it was 20 years ago.
God has given us many opportunities to witness at the police stations, at the courts. And actually, once I went to the police station, and they gave me 45 minutes to speak about Jesus. Just imagine yourself, there are all Muslims. Well, tell us about Jesus, please.
But Algeria and the countries of North Africa weren't always open to the gospel. Peter is a veteran missionary in these parts.
You know, there's that parable, the sower went out to sow, and the seed fell on stony ground. This is North Africa. In those days, was quite resistant and stony.
For security reasons, we've altered his voice and concealed his identity.
The religion and the culture were unsympathetic to anything that was foreign, and Christianity was considered to be the religion of the Europeans.
Peter believes the arrival of satellite TV and the internet have dramatically changed people's perception of Christianity.
Today in North Africa, on TV, you can hear native Arab Christians talking about their faith, who are mature Christians, answering questions, involved in debates.
Emboldened by God's power, Algerian Christians are now on a mission to take the gospel to the four corners of the globe.
God has put in our heart to be able to send 1,000 missionaries by the year 2025. And I really believe maybe one day America will end up with some Muslim converts, missionaries coming to reach out to the Muslims there and other parts as well.
George Thomas, CBN News, along the shores of the Mediterranean.
That is so powerful to see. And that's evidence of the Lord showing himself in dreams and things turning around. But what happened after that encounter that we were looking at took place there in
North Africa,
Morocco, yes. That's when ISIS started coming in, because obviously the adversary did not want to see Christians. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about it. They registered with the government. Yeah, they felt confident enough we could register with the government. Now imagine ISIS coming in and taking over your government and going through a roster and trying to find everybody that's there. For some reason, you know, that we struggle with as a church, I believe, is trying to get recognition from the world and the world systems and the world's governments. And it really doesn't matter what the world says at all about the church. It matters what God says about the church, you know?
Yeah. And this is so encouraging, all these reports and all these people that are giving their lives to Jesus, former Muslims. But I don't think we can get too, you know, we hear some good news that's happening in the East. We hear it and we think, well, now every Muslim. No, there's still plenty of work to be done. And it causes me to think about Pastor Saeed Abedini.
1,000 days.
1,000 days now in prison.
In Iranian prison.
Iranian
while
prison.
While we negotiate with the leaders of Iran to get nuclear weapons, who wants to annihilate Israel and America.
Yeah.
You think about that. It's crazy.
Crazy. Please continue to pray for Pastor Saeed.
Yes.
And for all of our brothers and sisters who are in prison right now and are being killed just for being Christians.
These are wild days to think that we would even negotiate with a government who is against Israel, against America, and imprisoning a pastor, pastors, and beat their young people that in their 20s, teens and 20s, because they actually were happy. They actually sang a song, Happy.
Wow.
And they threatened them. They just said that you would get, I believe it was 40 lashes for this, but they suspended it, you know. And I think the Ayatollah overruled it and said, you know, we should let our people be happy. And I'm thinking, what is religion? That's like, jeez. Oh my goodness. And so God is setting people free. I mean, if all you've been taught is Islamists, all you've been taught is the Quran, if all you've seen was people suffer huge consequences for even venturing outside of that, you know, that's the way you're raised. But when you find out that God actually laid down his son for you, that he died for you, think about that. The difference between all this other whatever is that God loves you so much. God loves you so much that he gave his son, Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. He gave him to die for your sins. He took on all those works and all that stuff that religion says you have to do to be able to be right with God. And he says, you can't do it. I did it on the cross with my son, and I paid the price for him. That's what's so awesome about our God. an enemy just tries to get people trying to do all kinds of different things to earn their salvation, but it's been earned on the cross through Jesus Christ. That's why when you see revival breaking out in Morocco or Tunisia and these different countries, you know, the Lucifer gets all terrified and starts, you know, going, we got to get in there quickly and start throwing religion around because these guys are getting free and they're finding God through his son, Jesus Christ. So I just want to pray for you even again now. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. Today is your day. Just, he's real. That's how, he's real. He's not religion. He's real. It's a relationship he wants with you through his son, Christ. Said, God, I want to know you. I want to know your son. I want you to be my God. Listen, we shared our stories at meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org. Go there and just read about how we found God, and you'll find out, you know, if God can save me, if he can save us, he can save anyone.
That's right.
I mean, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. We're going to talk, we get back from the break, how Governor Rick Scott has signed a bill that hinders those who want to hinder birth at least by 24 hours. More when we get back from the break.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I'll never forget, I read this book once, and the author asked this question. I don't remember much about the entire book. I was in college at the time. And he says, in the book, if there, you know, what is one thing that if you started doing every single day for the rest of your life, what's the one thing that will change your life? And that one sentence just exploded within inside of me. I go, whoa, I was in my 20s. That's powerful, that's deep. And I go, what's the one thing that if I just started doing every single day would change my life? I got thinking. I said, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, I bet if I read my Bible every day, I bet you that would change my life. And that was the beginning.
Wow.
That was the beginning. One little step. Let me tell you something. We have a simple plan for you. You can get that at iabide.org. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. And you will learn how to hear God's voice, connect with God, and write down what he's telling you and have a relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you allow God's word to get on the inside of you, it'll change your life because he is the word.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN torch. You got to go there. You get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN torch.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. John, tell us about Governor Rick Scott and what he just signed into law.
Governor Rick Scott of Florida just signed a law that's going to be in effect July 21st. Mm-hmm. And this law basically requires that women that are seeking an abortion, they must make 2 visits to the clinic. Waiting 24 hours, you know, 24 hours waiting period before they actually have an abortion. 11 states currently in the United States.
Can you say
this
one more time?
There's a law just signed by Florida Governor Rick Scott that requires...
And he signed the Born Alive Baby Bill as well.
Correct.
Yes, which says if the baby's born alive, it has all the protections of an American citizen.
And they must do everything in their power to get that baby to the hospital, save that baby's life. Mm-hmm. Well, he just signed this other bill, effective July the 1st, stating that any woman that desires to have an abortion, she must wait 24 hours before doing so, requiring her to make two visits now to the abortion clinic, you know, so that she has some time not to make an emotional decision, but that she can have an informed decision and she can actually speak with a doctor face to face. And that is so important right now in the country. 11 states have the same requirement. And soon in the near future, they're reporting that's going to go up to about 14 states. So,
well, Governor Rick Scott, this is what one of the congressmen said to me in Florida was, he will sign any pro-life bill that comes to his desk.
Wow.
And it makes you wonder, where's Congress been during the time? We need to bring everything. How about, like, no abortion?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I had the terrible experience of seeing a partial birth abortion, John. Mm. And I can't even describe it, because normally they just show you pictures.
Right.
But they deliver the baby, everything but the baby's head. So you have this whole baby's body right there, just the way we saw our children born, arms, legs, everything.
Wow. Moving.
And they just haven't pulled the head out of the birth canal. And they took scissors and stuck it in the back of this beautiful baby's head, back of his skull, just shoved it all around, just cutting his cord, I guess, and scrambling his brain, and almost totally removed his head. So when they pulled him out, his head was all, I'm like, that's murder.
That's murder. That's murder.
Think about this. The reason why we have laws is because we elected people to go represent us. We are Josiah in America. It's not the people in Washington, D.C. We're the ones that vote for people who say that we can do that. We have to rethink what we're doing. We got to quit voting money and vote, say, dear God, end abortion. I mean, you think about this. God's seeing that, and he knows why. He knows the fact that you know, somebody who said, you know, I don't want to vote for anybody. I just, you know, that's somebody else, and they complain all year long because the way things went, but they didn't vote. Or somebody says, you know, I want to vote for this person because they'll actually, you know, give me a better job. And it's like, yeah, but they voted to have that child murdered in that woman's, the birthing situation, partial birth abortion. And so when you see people who are out there today saying, I believe it's the woman's choice, is it really her choice to murder
to
this child?
Life? Sure. And it has only been legal. Doesn't mean it's moral. It's only been legal since 1973, Roe versus Wade. And but up until that point, understand that in America, it was absolutely illegal to have an abortion. But that court case changed it. And we're believing, as we continue to join you and others that are praying, that abortion is coming to an end.
Yes.
This murder of life is coming to an end, which reminds me of now a movie that they're trying to raise funds for, Hermit Gosnell.
And he's the one that actually did this very thing.
Yeah, Kermit Gosnell.
And he even pulled the baby out and killed the baby. He pulled the baby all the way out of out of the birth canal altogether, and the baby was alive, and he just went and killed the baby right then.
Yeah, this is testimony from the grand jury that they're reporting that when they tried to snip the spinal cord, if the baby's moving, that means the baby's alive, and when they try to snip the spinal cord, that the baby is feeling excruciating pain during that moment
of
torture.
Of course.
And they're killing a baby. And the reason why they're making this movie, documenting, they're trying to raise funds, they say, because it's not getting the media attention that other mass murders. And I want to read you what they have in this article. They say that Kermit Gosnell is responsible. He's killed more people than Gary Ridgway, John Wayne Gacy, the Zodiac Killer, and Ted Bundy combined. All of these people have been known for committing murder in the United States. They're mass serial killers, and he is responsible for ending more lives than all of these murderers combined. In fact, over 30 years, he's responsible for killing thousands of babies. We want you to watch this documentary. Maybe you yourself may be compelled to donate to these filmmakers as they want to bring this to light. Watch this.
Hello. We're journalists and filmmakers, and for over a decade now, we've been telling the stories that Hollywood and the mainstream media don't want to cover.
We funded our last film through Kickstarter, and it was picked up by Mark Cuban's TV channels.
And today, we're back to ask for your help to make our most important movie yet.
Today, we're launching the biggest ever crowdfunding campaign for a movie. We're going to make a TV film about Kermit Gosnell. Kermit Gosnell is the most prolific serial killer in American history, but almost no one knows who he is. The media have basically ignored his crime and his trial. He ran an abortion clinic in Philadelphia where he delivered live, viable babies and then murdered these newborns by severing their spinal cords with scissors.
According to expert testimony from neonatologists, these babies fought for their lives and suffered tremendous pain. But the mainstream media or Hollywood don't think this is a story. Gosnell killed more people than Gary Ridgway, John Wayne Gacy, the Zodiac Killer, and Ted Bundy combined. In a 30-year killing spree, it is thought he killed many thousands of babies.
And yet, the mainstream media or Hollywood don't think this is a national story. The same media that gave us daily updates on Jodi Arias, who was on trial at the same time as Gosnell for killing her boyfriend, just one person. Hollywood think the Jodi Arias story is so important, they have already made a TV movie about her, which has been shown multiple times.
But you shouldn't be surprised, because the establishment has always covered up the crimes of Kermit Gosnell. Here's how the grand jury explained what happened. Bureaucratic inertia is not exactly news. We understand that. But we think this was something more. We think the reason no one acted is because the women in question were poor and of color. Because the victims were infants without identities. And because the subject was the political football of abortion.
There's been too much censorship of this story already. We're going to change all that. With your help, we're going to make a TV film about Kermit Gosnell. We'll do the job the mainstream media and Hollywood won't do. Too often we complain about the mainstream media not reporting the news and throw stuff at our TV sets. Now you can do something about it.
This is a historic campaign. Up till now, the world record is for the film Veronica Mars, a teen detective story that asked for $2 million and raised $5.7 million.
With your help, we're going to hire the best screenwriter, director, and actors to make sure that the story of Kermit Gosnell gets into every home in America.
You can give as little as $1 or as much as $10,000. You know what you can afford, but even the smallest amount is important because it sends a message that if the media won't report the news, we can do it ourselves.
Please give what you can. Gosnell's crimes need to be known, and the thousands of babies he murdered must not be forgotten. Help us do this. Please pledge right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Man, it's just tragic, but thank God they're telling the story.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to understand, you know, how does God see America? I mean, I'm not God, I can tell you that, but I can tell you how America's set up. America, and you hear people talking about it all the time, it's a government by the people and for the people. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. So it's we establish government. Government doesn't establish the people, which means this. When we elect representative government, we choose them to lead. And if we don't want them to lead, we don't choose them again. We don't vote for them again, which means this. The American people, we're responsible for where America is today. Whatever happened, even if people lied, you think about that, that we elected leaders. We elected leaders that said life's not important.
Right.
It's a woman's choice. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about what we're saying in the context of that. And if you talk to the women who have gone through that, and God forgave David for murder, He forgives us. He'll forgive us, but it's still a tough thing to live with. And so many women report about how they're tormented and they just can't, you know, it's a difficult thing.
Get
past that. And there's grace for that. But understand this, one way to actually stand up for the children that are gone is to stand up for the children that have yet to come. and just say, you know, this thing has to stop. It was legal in Hitler's Germany to persecute people, to persecute, to kill, to do evil practices on people. But all of a sudden, it wasn't legal anymore. Now, it never was moral, but just because something's legal doesn't mean it's moral. And all of a sudden, now everybody looks back on Germany and they go like, I can't believe that y'all allowed something to happen. Slavery was legal in America, in the United States of America. It was part of a whole governmental system where people could own slaves, own people, beat slaves, treat them horrifically. It was legal, but it was immoral. And now we look back on slavery the way we do on Hitler's Germany and think, that was horrific. I cannot believe that you ever did that. Don't you understand the days coming when we're going to look back at abortion and say, you really took your child, pulled it halfway out the birth canal, and took scissors and stuck it in the back of its head just so you could have a better life? So that you wouldn't have to lay down your life for somebody and raise this child? Don't you understand that day is coming? And it comes for all of us at the throne room of God. But I believe it's coming that the Lord's going to end abortion. He's going to send revival. And I just want to encourage you right now that you've been tempted by all that counsel of a lot of the world right now that says you can take your child's life and everything will be okay. It won't be okay. First of all, it won't be okay for your child because your child's going to die and your child can't even speak yet. And you're the one supposed to speak for that child on that child's behalf. Remember when John the Baptist and Jesus, they're both were in the wombs of their mother and their mothers were talking, both of them jumped in their mother's womb because the life was inside of them. They already had their identity in their mother's womb. Can you imagine if Elizabeth said, you know, I don't want to have this child, and she went down and she aborted John the Baptist? Who would have baptized Jesus? Who would have been out there crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord? Can you imagine if Mary said, you know, people don't believe that God's spirit overshadowed me and I have this child. Besides, I was planning on being married. This is going to mess up my marriage with Joseph. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to go ahead and abort this child. The Son of God? I mean, think about what the destinies that are being aborted when we buy into the enemy saying, you know, you got your life. You need to just live your life. Don't let anybody, you don't need no child. You can do all you want to produce children. And if one happens to happen, just kill it and everything's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. It's just not going to be okay. We're going to have to answer for all of this. Now, we serve a God who's merciful and he's kind. But if we don't go, it's wrong. If we don't say, God, forgive us. If we don't put representatives in office that say, stop it. It's illegal. I don't. From all the way to the Supreme Court, all the way down to the school board. We've got to just stop all this and say, Lord, we value life. God, forgive us. And think about it. The God that God hated the most, the false God, was Moloch. Why? Because they sacrificed children to Moloch. I mean, think about that. They sacrificed their child to Moloch. It's a horrific thing. The God of convenience, the God of more for me, and just giving up my child just so I can have more, that my crops would grow or that I would be blessed financially. And it's like, that's the same thing that's happening today. The value is actually in raising that child. The value is in you guys saying, you know what, we're gonna take this child on, and we're gonna raise it. We're gonna believe God's gonna bless us, and it's gonna be a good thing. It's gonna be a good thing because family's a good thing. The enemy's convinced us that family's not a good thing. It's convinced us that raising children is just some sort of, you know, trying to squeeze it in, and that the most important thing is me, myself, and I. It's not true. Really, family's coming back again, and I really believe this. I know we gotta go to break. I believe this. I believe that once the church rediscovers family again, when we start getting to know each other again and we start saying, hello, my name is, and I care about your life and you care about my life, and that we lay down our lives one for another and we have things in common again, then the world will reflect the family of the church. But if the church don't have family right, how in the world is the world going to get family right? If we don't value spiritual children and people being born again into the kingdom of God, oh, now I got to disciple them. Now I have to spend my time with this new believer, and it's going to take me everything to be able to raise this child. Hence, we have a church that aborts spiritual children.
Yeah, all the time. The other thing we need to address is how we need to, there's just as many abortions happening in the church than outside of the church. So why is that happening? Are we not talking about sex? Are we shaming people, women that have abortions, that got pregnant out of wedlock? Listen, this is an important thing to discuss. We need to be able to love people where they're at and be able to minister to them and do away with this shame. Because so many women right now are living in so much shame right now, they can't even you know, come out. This is the time to be able to minister to the whole person.
Right. Well, God loves you. God forgives. But this has to stop. And we just ask right now, Lord, that you would end abortion and you would send revival. Join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Healing ministry is valuable not only in the sense that it's alleviating suffering throughout the world, but more importantly, it is awakening people that if God is capable of working miraculously in this physical body, how much more capable is he of working miraculously to my spirit?
We're very excited to tell you that Art Thomas is going to be coming to the Gulf Coast, to VFN TV Studios, VFN Dream Center. It's going to be on August
28th through the 30th.
We want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our viewers. Don't forget, we're on the Gulf Coast every single day from Destin, the beautiful sandy beaches of Destin, Florida, all the way to the beautiful historical parts of Mississippi. And over 1.4 million footprint out there. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we want to be able to be there with you each day, bring in some light to this interesting times. And we're getting some great feedback from you, and we so love to hear from you. Remember our Facebook, and you can communicate to us. We'd love to receive messages from you and letters, actually positive messages.
Yes.
Anything negative, just send it to Pat. He's good. He can handle that kind of stuff.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I want to encourage you. Space is so limited. I mean, very limited. We're trying to strategize how in the world everybody in the studio. But Art Thomas is going to be here in the VFN TV studios on August the 28th, 29th, 30th.
Yes.
You can go to VFNTV.com. I think you're seeing here. Just click on that, and you can register. You're going to need to register. It's very limited seating. But, you know, God is over 3,000 miracles the Lord has just released through the revelation that he's sharing. And what's interesting is it's the awakening of healing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, God is if Christ is inside of you, everything that he is inside of you, which means healing. You have the ability to lay hands on the sick too, and they recover. And we're going to begin to see this. We're believing that the Lord is going to loose healing, awaken healing on the Gulf Coast. So if you want to be a part of that, and our desires, those that come, that when God gives you what he gives you and awakens you with a revelation, that you just go out like Johnny Appleseed and you begin to believe, and all of a sudden the Gulf Coast is like a glory zone.
Activation, right?
Just activating you. And you can prepare for it because it's August 28th
through the 30th.
And get his book. It's a great book and a movie. It's called, you know, Paid in Full. You can't see the book right there. Maybe you can come back and see the book. There it is. Paid in Full. You can go to VFNTV.com and also and go to it as well to be able to find it. And it's a 40-day devotional. And what it is, I look at it this way. You know, if you have a computer that you've put a lot of things on, and after a while it gets discombobulated. There's like bits and pieces of this and bits and pieces of that. And they have a thing called defragging. And your computer needs to be defragged. It needs to be kind of like, it's almost like a young girl's hair that's been all tangled up, and it has to be combed out and straightened out, and all of a sudden her hair is all nice and neat again. Well, your computer gets like knotted up, and it gets all discombobulated and bits and pieces everywhere. And so they say you need to defrag it. And when you defrag it, it just cleans out your hard drive, and it allows you to be able to, your programs to operate more fuller. I'm telling you, you want to get a copy of this because it can begin to defrag all the things and stuff you've been hearing and experiencing, and puts you back on the pathway of these signs follow those that believe. And it'll just so encourage you, because our God heals all of your diseases. He is a healing God. His desire is for, I mean, think about it. Everybody that approached Jesus was healed. Everybody that approached him, everybody that touched him was healed. Everybody that touched the body of Jesus was healed. Well, who's the body of Jesus today? Aren't you the body of Jesus? I mean, think about it. And he wants us to go show who he is to folks. And you actually can go on VFNTV.com and watch the interviews with Art Thomas. There's two interviews, great. And also register today. You want to register, and space is very limited. There isn't not going to be any kind of child care. So maybe you want to find some child care or whatever somewhere. But we want to make sure you get in. We want to make sure our audience, you're so encouraged. Just want to make sure, we want to bless you, you know, with that. So go to VFNTV.com and register. I want to pray for you right now, as a matter of fact. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for healing. Yes. I thank you, Lord, for even each of these people that are beginning to realize, you know what, I'm going to keep my child. Lord, I'm going to keep my child. I'm going to just believe. We just pray for the grace over you right now, that the Lord would just give you a peace, that everything's going to be okay. He's going to help you raise that child, and you're making a right decision. God, and we just pray for that man and woman who made the decision to abort their child. Lord, that they would come to you and that they would ask for forgiveness for this, but that you would forgive them and you would heal them, Lord, and they would have the knowledge but not the pain, and they would empower others not to make that decision, Father God. Lord, we just ask you to forgive us for all the innocent bloodshed. Forgive us for the greed of saying, I don't want to share my life or my resources with this kid. And the life of the kid is just snuffed out. God, forgive us for electing leaders who think the children's lives are irrelevant and they could end them, saying this is the woman's choice to end the life of her child. God, forgive us for that mindset. Deliver us from that. End abortion. Send a revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.